Hello and welcome to Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 15th of October 2007, brought to you by azonano.com. My name is Stuart Cameron. In this edition of Azo Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll be hearing about the largest experiment in the world ever, the world's first carbon nanotube radio, and how laser beams are blowing up cancer cells. In this week's Azo Nano interview, David Freund talks with Dr. Shane Huntington, CEO of Quantum Communications Victoria, about a proprietary method they've developed to stop data theft. These stories and more in this edition of Azo Nano News. In 2008, the biggest experiment in the world will start operations, creating conditions last seen only fractions of a second after the Big Bang. Called the Large Hadron Collider, or LHC, this huge machine will act as a time machine allowing scientists to look back at the start of the universe and answer many questions that remain in physics. The LHC will accelerate protons and collide them at high energies to explore the conditions of the early universe. Scientists working on the LHC hope to learn about antimatter, gravity, mass, extra dimensions, and even discover new particles. New technology in development at the University of Virginia School of Engineering and Applied Science could lead to more successful hip and bone replacement surgeries, make better use of solar power, and even prevent your computer from overheating. Through the creation of nano and micro laser texturing and nanospikes on the surfaces of semiconductors and metals, Mul C. Gupta, Langley Distinguished Professor in University of Virginia's Charles L. Brown Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering, is adding a new dimension to these materials' effectiveness. What Gupta has done in creating nanospikes on GE's surface is add another, more minute layer of texture, vastly increasing the surface area and thus the effectiveness of the material. Despite their incredibly small size, nanospikes' tips range from 10 to 100 millionths of a meter in diameter. These tiny performance-enhancing nanostructures could have a big impact on many aspects of everyday lives. In a worldwide internet and media analysis, the Global Language Monitor has found the most confusing yet frequently cited high-tech buzzwords in 2007 to be iPod, Flash, Cookie, Nano, Kernel, followed by Megahertz, Cell, as in cell phone, Plasma, Deduplication, and Blu-ray. The study was released earlier today on the 13th anniversary of the cookie, the invention that made the World Wide Web practical for widespread surfing, communication, and e-commerce. The analysis was completed using GLM's predictive quantities indicator, the proprietary algorithm that tracks words and phrases in the media and on the internet. The words are tracked in relation to frequency, contextual usage, and appearance in global media outlets. This analysis was performed earlier this month. Researchers in California report development of the world's first working radio system that receives radio waves wirelessly and converts them to sound signals through a nano-sized detector made of carbon nanotubes. The carbon nanotube radio device is thousands of times smaller than the diameter of a human hair. The development marks an important step in the evolution of nanoelectronics and could lead to the production of the world's smallest radio. Peter Burke and Chris Rutherglen developed a carbon nanotube demodulator that is capable of translating AM radio waves into sound. In a laboratory demonstration, the researchers incorporated the detector into a complete radio system and used it to successfully transmit classical music wirelessly from an iPod to a speaker several feet away from the music player. Carbon nanotubes have been employed for a variety of uses, including composite materials, biosensors, nanoelectronic circuits, and membranes. While they've been proven useful for these purposes, no one really knows much about what's going on at the molecular level. In a quest to find the answer, researchers for the first time have been able to measure a specific interaction for a single functional group with carbon nanotubes using chemical force microscopy, a nanoscale technique that measures interaction forces using a tiny spring-like sensor. Functional groups are the smallest specific group of atoms within a molecule that determine the characteristic chemical reactions of that molecule. This research opens up a new capability for nanoscale material science. The ability to measure interactions on a single functional group level could eliminate much of the guesswork that goes into the design of new nanocomposite materials, nanosensors, or molecular assemblies, which in turn could help in building better and stronger materials and more sensitive devices and sensors in the future. Researchers have shown how tiny nanorods of gold can be triggered by a laser beam to blast holes in the membranes of tumor cells, setting in motion a complex biochemical mechanism that leads to a tumor cell's self-destruction. Tumor cell membranes often have an abnormally high number of receptor sites to capture molecules of folic acid or folate, a form of vitamin B, that many tumor cells crave. Purdue researchers attached folate to the gold nanorods, enabling them to target the receptors and attach to the tumor cell membranes. Scientists have recently determined that gold nanorods and other nanostructures can be used to target and destroy tumor cells, but it was generally assumed that cell death was due to the high heat produced by the light-absorbing nanoparticles. The Purdue team discovered, however, that a more complex biochemical scenario is responsible for killing the cells. For the first time, theoretical modelling has provided a glimpse into how promising dielectric materials are able to trap charges, something which may affect the performance of advanced electronic devices. Through the constant quest for miniaturisation, transistors and all their components continue to decrease in size. A similar reduction has resulted in the thickness of a component material known as the gate dielectric, typically a thin layer of silicon dioxide, which has now been in use for decades. Unfortunately, as the thickness of the gate dielectric decreases, silicon dioxide begins to leak current, leading to unwieldy power consumption and reduced reliability. Scientists hope that this material can be replaced with others known as the high dielectric constant dielectrics, which mitigate the leakage effects at these tiny scales. C60 molecules have an intriguing ball-shaped structure that suggests several interesting possibilities for motion on surfaces. Indeed, researchers have found that the passage of electrons through a buckyball in a transistor is correlated to the spinning of the ball around its center of mass. Moreover, since buckyballs look like molecular ball bearings, it's been thought that they may be useful as lubricants for use in automobile brakes. Now a team of researchers from the University of Bologna in Italy and the University of Liverpool in the UK have carried out a detailed molecular dynamics simulation to understand the motion of buckyballs on metal surfaces. The researchers have found that C60 molecules exhibit a wide range of molecular motions on surfaces. The buckyballs spin and bounce on the surface and also show an intercage rattling motion that researchers say is similar to that of billiard balls in a partly filled roller rack triangle. These simulations have been carried out as a function of temperature and model the movement of several buckyball molecules over time, ranging up to 1 nanosecond. Hitachi Limited and Hitachi Global Storage Technologies announced today that they've developed the world's smallest read head technology for hard disk drives, which is expected to quadruple current storage capacity limits to 4 terabytes on a desktop hard drive and 1 terabyte on a notebook hard drive. Researchers at Hitachi have successfully reduced existing recording heads by more than a factor of 2 to achieve new heads in the 30 to 50 nanometer range, which is up to 2,000 times smaller than the width of an average human hair. Called current perpendicular to the plane giant magnetoresistive heads, Hitachi's new technology is expected to be implemented in shipping products in 2009 and reach its full potential in 2011. Dr. Shane Huntington is CEO of Quantum Communications Victoria, a company that has invented a way to use a quantum physics effect to stop data transmission from being stolen from communications networks. Dr. Shane Huntington speaks with David Freund.
Okay, so we're working on a piece of technology to deal with the problem of theft of information on telecommunications lines at the moment. So the way traditionally information is encoded is we send millions of photons across a transmission line, and if someone steals a few of those photons, we're not aware of that. And what we do is we encode the information in very large numbers and codes that are difficult to crack. What we're doing is working on technology that, instead of sending millions of photons, just sends one at a time. And what this enables us to do is use some of the rules of quantum physics to determine whether or not those individual photons are being intercepted along their path. And so what this means is you don't have to worry about the extensive coding. You actually prevent the theft in the first place. Now, sounds relatively simple. The hard part is producing the individual photons in a controlled way. Yeah. What our program is doing is working on a prototype technology to do exactly that. And that technology is based on diamond. Diamond has an unusual feature that when it has a certain defect in the diamond lattice, if you take that diamond crystal and you pump it with a particular laser, will give out one photon at a time in a very controlled manner. And this is exactly what we do. We manufacture the diamond and then we put it into a contraption that we can use and control.
So that technology you've been developing that in-house, or is that in conjunction with one of the universities or anything?
Yeah, so our program is actually based in the School of Physics at the University of Melbourne.
Yep.
And we have a lot of the equipment and so forth required to do the fabrication in-house. So we actually make the diamond in the School of Physics. We do all the photonics integration within the School of Physics.
Sure.
The only part that we don't do, which we have a joint venture partner to do, is the integration into the telecommunications sort of equipment itself. So we partner with a group from Boston for that, and they make the sort of larger scale systems that plug into your standard telecommunications system.
Sure. So if you're able to generate individual photons, does that hold future implications not only for the control of the data transmissions but also for quantum computing?
Yeah, so one of the things that quantum computing may require down the track is a mechanism for moving information from point to point within a quantum computer and so forth. And to do that, you essentially need quantum elements or quantum connectors, and it may well be that our single photons are, you know, those elements that are in use. So
sure.
We've obviously had a lot of interest from groups like the Center of Excellence for Quantum Computing Technology and other quantum computing groups with regards to the ability to produce essentially quantum elements or, you know, individual photons.
Yep. Mm. So obviously there's great benefits for mankind from restricting that data access and that sort of thing. You see other benefits for mankind from nanotechnology in general?
Yeah, I think one of the things we have to do with nanotechnology is start to move further and further away from research push and start to look at what sorts of problems are out there that nanotechnology may be able to solve.
Sure.
You know, from my perspective, nanotechnology is just the next evolution of the sort of manufacturing world that we're already in. And it just means we can do some funkier things and solve some more elaborate problems.
Yeah.
And it's sort of high time we started doing that. We have some incredible tools available now, so we need to start looking for problems that we can solve. But it's definitely a bright future for nanotechnology.
Sure. In order to bring those items and applications of the future to market, are there any particular areas that you perceive as being hurdles that have to be overcome?
I mean, for me, the one I've always pushed, and this is true in the biotech sector as well as nanotech and many others, is the lack of communication skills that exist between various groups. And this is, you know, not something that we would blame scientists for, but blame all sectors for. They're not very good at the interplay that occurs, that needs to occur for good commercialization. And often the biggest impairment is just not knowing how to talk to other people, not knowing what drives them, especially when you need them to help you with that process. And that's something I'd like to see, especially a lot more government funding in and a lot more interest in generally, would be the translators, the people who can help us do that better.
Sure. That lack of communication to just general man in the street, do you think that is the major contributing factor to some of the perceptions that people have that nanotechnology can be dangerous to us?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, I was speaking to someone here at the conference earlier that one of the biggest names in terms of information flow to the public with regards to nanotechnology is currently Michael Crichton. Yes. You know, now, this is a disgusting scenario that really is the fault of the nano community for not getting out there and making the public aware of the benefits and the risks associated with nanotechnology. And someone like Michael Crichton is making a lot of money out of, you know, putting forward fictional stories about the risks. Now, I think, you know, what we need to do is be sort of more proficient with the way we engage the public. It's not a one-way flow of information. We need to know what concerns them and then, you know, deal with those situations on a case-by-case basis, but also have a far more profound strategy for, you know, keeping the public consistently informed about the advancements we're making.
Azo Nano Business News. NanoC Incorporated, leading developer of nanostructured carbon materials, today announced the company has been selected by the National Institute of Standards and Technologies to develop a novel manufacturing process for nanostructured carbon materials, including fullerenes and single-walled carbon nanotubes, to dramatically increase yields and reduce costs, enabling wider application. The company was selected under the agency's Advanced Technology Program. The project is expected to last 3 years with a projected $2.9 million in funding. The company is cost-sharing approximately 30% of the project. NanoSys Incorporated has announced the expansion and extension of its collaborative agreement with Sharp Corporation of Osaka, Japan, to develop nanotechnology-enabled fuel cells incorporating NanoSys's proprietary nanostructure technology. Under the terms of the agreement, Sharp will fund the joint development efforts at NanoSys and Sharp towards developing high-performance fuel cells for use in portable consumer electronics such as laptop computers, cell phones, and multimedia devices. JPK Instruments AG, the market leader in bio-SPM, is the number one and hence the fastest-growing company of the nanotechnology industry on the Deloitte Technology Fast 50 ranking, which has been established for the fifth consecutive year. JPK Instruments develops, produces, and markets essential base technologies, enabling unique analytical access at an atomic and molecular level. The leading companies in Germany's high-tech industries were determined on the basis of their compounded percentage sales growth rates of the past 5 years. JPK achieved a growth rate of over 970%. Solar and biofuel technologies have been the investment darlings of the past 2 years in the clean tech field, but now alternative power and energy storage technologies, including advanced batteries, supercapacitors and fuel cells, addressing a $10 billion global market, are entering the limelight. These technologies captured $539 million of venture capital investment last year, up 142% over 2005. The new LR Power Intelligence Service from Lux Research helps executives and investors track the innovations in this rapidly changing field through primary research and insider knowledge. Industrial Nanotech Incorporated, an emerging global leader in nanotechnology, announced today that the company has severed its relationship with Mercatus & Partners Group of Rome, Italy, as joint venture partners for a manufacturing facility in Italy, and is moving to expand the company's supply chain for Europe, the Middle East and Asia, with manufacturing in Budapest, Hungary, and a fulfillment center in Shanghai, China. BioForce Nanosciences, a wholly owned subsidiary of BioForce Nanosciences Holdings Incorporated, announced that it's received notice from the US Patent and Trademarks Office that its protein nanoarray patent has been upheld following a request for re-examination of the previously issued patent by a third party. NanoIdent Technologies AG, the technology leader in the development and production of printed semiconductor-based optoelectronic sensors, announced that the company's founders were selected Ernst & Young's Austrian Entrepreneur of the Year 2007. CEO Klaus G. Schroeter and CTO Franz Paddinger were awarded for their entrepreneurial vision, their readiness to assume risk, their innovative and disruptive technology, and the exemplary implementation of their entrepreneurial vision. Well, that was Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 15th of October 2007. If you have any nano courses, events or exhibitions you'd like to promote to a global nanotech audience, don't forget you can list them for free at azonano.com. To review any of the stories you've heard about in this podcast, or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening. Yeah.